You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
So it's lovely to be with you all this morning. As Rick says, my name's Catherine. I'm one of the oldies. I've been around a long time at Jubilee. And I was very relieved when I looked at the rota and saw that I was not speaking about fasting, because I'm absolutely convinced that there is a mistranslation in the, you know, as it's come down the generations in the word, that should actually be feasting and not fasting. As a cook, you would imagine that's something I would say, but seriously, it's my pleasure to be with you this morning. And the words that I got from God for this morning, I got a few weeks ago. We were on holiday in Egypt, when I go for things like massages, that's a real opportunity for me, because my brain just switches off and I have time with God, and he speaks to me because there's nothing else clouding. And I very clearly got this word from God about Jesus being the center. I was also at the same time listening to a new album that had been released from Bethel Church in the States, which I have to say is probably one of the best entire albums I have ever heard. And I encourage you to download it, listen to it on whatever app you use for your music. It's called We Must Respond. And it's just an incredible album of truth about who Jesus is. But there is a song in the middle of the album called Center. And that really spoke to me, and God really spoke to me through that song. And that is where we come this morning. I would say coincidentally, but nothing is really coincidental with God. Sean then brought two sermons in the last few weeks, and this literally follows on the back of those. We did not confer, I promise. In fact, the first week I thought, no, he's going to say it all, but he hasn't. So I would also encourage you to listen back to those if you haven't been here for them. So as we use the living verse this morning from Hebrews, this was also the scripture that God gave me as well at the time, and particularly thinking about what holds us back and throwing off everything that hinders us, all of that sin that entangles us. And where do we fix our eyes? We fix our eyes on him, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who has designed it all. And I love the fact we're not in this alone, as has just testified. We are here together. You are all our clouds of witnesses, as in all the people that have gone before us. And that is just such an incredible thing of the church, that we come together, that God puts us together, a motley crew that we are. I'm sure you're all very lovely, but come together for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to journey this life with Jesus, and that is incredible. And I'm going to, as part of this, sort of go through some of the lyrics from the song called Center, and actually Tom very bravely has agreed to play, and we're going to sing it at the end, so you'll get right into it then. But there's so many bits of this song that are just so helpful to us. And this is the first verse. It says, maybe we've made this complicated, more than it was ever meant to be. Hasn't it always been about the same thing? Lord, bring us back to simple things. You are the center of it all. And I've been struck as I was listening to it, how complicated we try and make faith, and how difficult we try and make it, and we give lists of rules and what we must do and what we mustn't do and everything else. And actually, it is really quite simple. It is all about him. And even though life isn't simple, he is with us and is with us through everything that we are going through. And he is in our hearts, and we need to keep him as the center of it all, because he is what is important. And that's where we're going to go this morning. So I'm not, I'm also on Rick's band of not being particularly creative, particularly when it comes to drawing things, but I got an acrostic, which also was a word I had to look up. So we've got an acrostic of centre. Now, if you look at the album, it's got the American spelling of centre. I have made this the British spelling, the proper spelling of centre. And so we start with this. And so for the C, we go Christ Jesus first and foremost. So in everything, we have to keep our eyes on him, as the scripture from Hebrews pointed out. And he will not let our foot slip or stumble. He is faithful in all things. When you think of some of the stories from the Bible, when Peter stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water, and he was literally walking on water because his eyes were fixed firmly upon Jesus. The minute he took his eyes off, he started to sink. And that is exactly the same for all of us. And as I've been reflecting on this, I think some of it is so subtle. And often there's not one thing that happens that means we take our eyes off Jesus. Often it's a bit by bit by bit. We just start to drift a little bit. And all of a sudden we're not just focusing on him as much as we were. And then things start to teeter and we try and fix it for ourselves. Who's a fixer? Who likes to fix things? Control. Who likes to be in control? Yeah. Crumbs, you're all very good. Come on, some other people must like to be in control. Thank you. I'm somebody who does like to be in control, and my first response is often when something happens or I get, an email or something through, like, oh, right, what do I need to do? How do I fix this? And eventually I come round to the fact, I need to pray, or I need to look at God, and I need to ask him for the wisdom for whatever the situation is. And that is just a reality of our lives and our lives with him as well. The other thing that we are told in the Bible is to seek first his kingdom, and all of the other things will be added to as well. So it's a constant thing of coming back to God, coming back and keeping our eyes absolutely fixed on Christ Jesus first and foremost in everything that we do. Which leads us on to our E in centre. And this is, I forgot Philippians verse. This is about not being anxious about anything and about the peace of God. So you can write that one down. Our next E is entering his presence daily, because this is a discipline, and it is something that we need to build habits about. We've just read, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And there's an old hymn called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And there's a line that says, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And it is that sense, the Bible talks about his blessings being new every morning. We need to touch into Jesus every single day, spend time in his presence. It helps us to face whatever is going to be thrown at us. We don't know what each day is going to bring. And some things are great, we get really good things happening in our days, but also we get other things happening in our days. We drive on roads, you never know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to be doomsday, but actually we never know. We need to fix our eyes upon him every single day. And again, this sense of drifting where you have a talk like this and you're like, yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, really get into this habit of speaking to Jesus every day, spending time in his presence. And it starts to drift. And I don't know where you are currently. Just maybe this is a prompting to say, just get back into whatever habit, the habit of being with God every day. And that can be at any time. There is no set rule. There's no right and wrong about how you do that. Some people like to do it in the morning. Some people like to do it in the evening. Maybe it's when you're driving to work or driving the kids to school or whatever it is, whatever works for you to spend time with God every day, to lay down everything for the day to him, I would just encourage you to do it. And just, thinking about about that and how there is no right and wrong. It is just do it. So the Nike ad comes in into its own. Actually, thinking about the series on fasting and thinking about what is it you need to fast from. It's maybe not food. Some people will be very grateful. But, you know, what's distracting you? What is holding you back? Social media? I have literally stepped off quite a few social media platforms because hours would go by doom-scrolling through. And just switched it off because it was a distraction. Games. I also like to play games on my Candy Crush et al. I'm quite far ahead with that, but actually, you know, what is it? And, you know, I've had to set my mind to, before I pick up the phone in the morning, I spend some time with God. And that is a new habit because, you know, I was a bit stubborn and I knew that I needed to do it, but everything, the distractions got in the way. I encourage you just to make that time, whatever works for you. And what do we get from this encounter? When you take time with God, what does he give us? And when we look at Psalm 16, there, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God meets us where we are. And that's the thing, if you're feeling like you're on a mountaintop and everything's going well, meet God because he will be with you in all of that joy and the goodness and everything that is of that. If you are in the darkest place, as Jack said, he will meet you there, whether you want him to necessarily or not, he will meet you there. And that is just so important. And just thinking about what he does in that space and how he refreshes and restores your soul in those moments that you spend with him are just something that you need to hold on to. And I encourage you to write it down. Write down what God says to you in those moments. I'm not a journaler. I'm not particularly creative, as I've said, and journaling is not an easy thing for me, but actually it's so important to write down what God says in these spaces, and you can look back and say, crumbs, actually, yeah, God said this, and look what's happened. Or God said this morning, and how's my day gone? He's been with me in everything that I've done. When we look at the second verse of the song, this is how it reads. Teach us to discern the moment, when to serve, and when to sit here at your feet. Keep us awake to what's important, just like Mary chose the better thing. We're often so busy doing that we forget to just be. So often we're busy doing things for the church or running stuff that's all good stuff. But actually, God calls us to just be and spend time with him. And I encourage you to listen back to Sean's sermon, I think it was 3 weeks ago now, where he talked when Jesus was literally calling Martha, 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 Martha. And again, is he calling your name this morning and saying, come, just come and spend time with me. Put down all of the distractions of life and just spend time. And as the Seek You First verse says, all of these other things then are added to us. So it's not like you're taking time out and everything else just goes to pot. Actually, you take time out and God gives you all the other things that you need as you're doing it. So just thinking that that through. So on to our N. This is a long one. Never doubt his goodness, and he has a plan and purpose for your life. And I don't know if you can see these very well. The lighting's not great. So on the left is Biggles. Meet Biggles. And on the right is the McStripey family. And Biggles we met in Egypt. How many of you remember Biggles from back? You're all too young. Yes, there's a few people that remember Biggles. There was a books about Biggles, wasn't there? Yeah, my brother read them all. It was, you know, boys' things. He was an airline pilot. I'm looking at my mother for inspiration. Airline pilot, and he wore glasses. So a bit like, you know, the Dam Busters do the kind of, you know, that. I can't do it. But yeah, he wore like goggles on his head. So Biggles literally has like goggles on the top of his head. And the incredible thing, this was taken when we were in Egypt, he was literally where you are ankle deep in water, so very, very close to this shoreline. And there were a number of Biggles family around, and they were all beautifully marked. So I don't know if you can see the markings on there. The detail and the blue on the headpiece, and then there's like literally along the back tail, dots all the way along, and all of these fish were marked so beautifully. Just incredible sight. And with zebras, did you know that every single zebra's print is different? So for all the zebras in the world, and we saw quite a few in the Kruger Park, they are all different. And God made all of them. And God takes so much time to make sure everybody is unique, but is so beautiful and so perfect. And when you look at the Seek You First verse, this is just before it, when it says, just consider the lilies of the field. When we worry about everything, but actually our Father has, if he's looking after all of these animals and everything else, how much more does he care about us? And our and it says also in the word about him having a plan and a purpose for our lives. So we are all very unique. I don't think there's anybody who looks anything like anybody else in here this morning. Am I right? Even that we don't have any twins. No, because James was here a few weeks ago. That's probably the closest we've got to James and Matt. But actually, even they are very different because we are all created unique. We have a plan and a purpose that is given by God for our lives. My favourite verse, and the verse that really spoke to me when I sort of recommitted my life to Jesus a number of years ago, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not to harm you. That is our God. He knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head, even if you've got a few less than you wanted to have. I'm not looking at anything in particular. He knows us and he loves us and he does have this plan and this purpose for our lives. And I think if you think back on some of the, maybe you've heard God a number of years ago and saying things, and maybe you've had dreams shattered or, you know, not having things fulfilled that you've been waiting for. Come back to God with that. He knows you. He loves you, and his plans and his purposes are incredible. And pressing into him and knowing that he is the author and perfecter of your faith, it really helps us to just keep our eyes on him again and say, Lord, let me live whatever days I have, let me live for you. And it's so important. And I think, you know, some examples, our lovely Doreen King's not here today. He's still in Singapore. Our lovely Doreen, even in her last weeks and months of life, when she was in the hospital, she was around the ward praying for people. So she was, you know, just had a terrible diagnosis. But she was still out there. You know, I've still got breath in my lungs. So I'm going to use the time I have to do whatever the Lord calls me to do. I think of my lovely dad, you know, his last days, and the, you know, you think, well, you know, he was in bed and he was having carers in and everything, but the relationship he developed with his carers and then how he prayed for them, and at his Thanksgiving service, there was testimony given to those prayers, and all these carers were there. They heard that this man that they, I mean, they adored him and had prayed for them. There was purpose in even those very last days before he died. As long as we have breath in our lungs, there is a purpose and a plan for us, and God will use us in ways. So never doubt that he will use you in whatever circumstances. And he is always good. Even sometimes we can't see it, but he is always good. So on to T, which follows us, follows nicely about trusting his timing. I'm a bit impatient in life. I like things to happen. We live in a world, don't we, where everything's instant. So we were talking last night about writing to people back in the 50s. And you'd send a letter, it would go air mail, and it would take probably 6 weeks to get there. And then the reply, so it's like 3 months have passed before, and you know, that's how relationships were kept up. You guys at the front on your devices constantly, and you can just text somebody, or you want to know something, Mr. Google, no getting out the Encyclopedia Britannica or any of that anymore. It's all there. Everything is instant to us. But actually, God doesn't work like that. You know, he has a habit of making us wait. I can absolutely give testament to that. He makes us wait, and his timing is always perfect. He's never too early. He's never too late. It's always bang on, even if it's not our timing. You know, and often we try running ahead or we give up. Say, well, what's the point? God hasn't answered that prayer instantly. But actually, again, it's coming back to where our core is, keeping our eyes on him and speaking to him and saying, well, Lord, I really want this to happen now. It's a good thing. It's I really want it. And he's like, no, just wait. Think of the children of Israel wandering in the desert. 40 years they wandered in the desert before they saw the fulfillment of getting to the promised land. But what God taught them along that way, you know, incredible things that he taught them. You got the Ten Commandments in that time, the miracles they saw. So not only was there the parting of the Red Sea, which I don't know if any of you have ever been to Egypt or flown over Egypt. The Red Sea is massive. We're not talking about the River Wey little puddle parting and going through. The Red Sea is huge. I don't actually know how far wide it is. Somebody can Google it, instant. But actually, you know, this was no mean feat, no mean miracle of God to have parted the Red Sea to let the children of Israel get across to the other side. But he also, there was a Passover before that, so where the lamb, they put the sacrifice of the lamb, the marks on the door, and they were able then to escape. They were able to get to the Red Sea by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, get it round the right way. These are miracles of God that they witnessed in their lifetime, and yet they still grumbled in the desert. They still moaned about the fact that, you know, oh, God's left us. It's like, hang on, look what he's done. And again, this sort of theme of writing stuff down, because actually sometimes it's the big things, sometimes it's the little things that God does that we need to remind ourselves and trust his goodness. Trust his timing, because he is good all the time. And it is just that pressing into him. And we need to just, as we are waiting on the fulfillment of a promise or whatever it is we're waiting for, these testimonies in our mind of what he's done, they sustain us as we go. We say, yeah, remember, you said you would do that, and you did do that, and I praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for who you are. And there's this song that we sometimes sing, The Goodness of God, and the chorus goes, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Let that sustain you, those testimonies of what he has done in your life, sustain you as you wait for his fulfillment. Now, this is really a but center doesn't, center. It's, and this is about the word. Read the word, remember it, and respond. There is so much misinformation out there right now. So many misquotations of scripture that I've seen, particularly from the other side of the pond, but not exclusively. And that's one of the reasons I came off Twitter, X as it is now, because there was just so much. It was annoying me intensely, the fact that it was so misquoted. And the only way that we can either rebut it physically or even in our own minds is by knowing the Word of God and getting into it ourselves. So many resources out there. Apps, plans on your Bible apps and all of these different things. And you know, whatever works for you is what's really important. I'm currently working through this, which is a series called Straight to the Heart, written by a guy called Phil Moore. And he basically goes through more in depth some of the books of the Bible. There's quite a number in the series. And currently going through the Psalms. Incredible. There's 60 days worth, that's what, 2 months? Worth of scripture readings where he sort of takes you in a little bit more. It's not as heavy as a commentary, but it's sort of 3-4 pages worth of a morning, just gets you thinking and your brain going. My husband would not forgive me if I didn't say that there are good resources available through Waverley Abbey. Please keep him in a job. So you can go to them, 24/7 prayer. There's things like Lectio, all sorts. There's the Bible in a year, and there's one that is chronological. And actually, that's really helpful in terms of understanding and how it all fits together in history, because when you read the Bible as we know it, it does actually hop around quite a lot. So when you start reading things like the Psalms, you need to sort of slot them into where they actually happened, where David was actually bringing them in terms of history, and that's really helpful. And please just do whatever works for you. But my plea in all of that is not to get caught up with the book or the app or other people's opinion. It's get into the Word for yourself, because there's nothing like actually spending time with God, reading what he said, the original, and asking him to open it up to you in a whole new way. Even passages that are really familiar, the ones that we know, Good Samaritan, Prodigal Son, story of David, Jonah, whatever it is, we're so familiar sometimes we're a bit flippant. Actually ask God to open it up, reveal himself to you in a whole new way. So important to be getting into the Word and reading the Word in context rather than in snapshots. Number of times you hear, you know, particularly when it's misquoted scripture, people will pull a verse out and they don't get the context of it at all, and you miss the point. It's so important to know and understand the context as well as the content, as we do. And then, put my notes around the right way. I've also started wearing contacts as well, so this is a bit risky because my near sight is slightly different to, my brain's still coping. But in Psalm 19, and this is a long version, but in the Message, I just loved the way the Message read this, and we can read this together. This is the psalm that starts in the normal language as "the heavens declare the glory of God." But this psalm just talks about how wonderful the scriptures are and what God does through using the scriptures. So speak it together. God's glory is on tour in the skies. Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madame Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Their words aren't heard. Their voices aren't recorded. But their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. God makes a huge dome for the sun, a superdome. The morning sun's a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape. That's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset. Melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. The revelation... Thank you. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. God spoke. Better than red ripe strawberries. There is more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will we find our way or know when we play the two? Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar. O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. Isn't that incredible? This is the word that is so accessible to us. That is literally life-giving in every single aspect. And it really is that anchor for our souls. And my encouragement to you this morning, if you take nothing else, is get into the Word of God. It is so good. And as we get into it, we need to remember it. And again, it's individual how you do it. Back in the day, a few years ago, we used to do a lot of scripture in song. And bless Juliet, who we were talking about earlier, she was the master of scripture and song. When she was, before she started to deteriorate, she would always come up when you were leading worship. She would be singing a song, usually right in your face, that was full of scripture, full of truth. She would be quoting, you know, and when the preacher would be speaking talking scripture, she would be reciting it. She knew her Bible inside and out. She'd learned it over the years. And what a blessing that was. But, you know, sometimes we need different things. So, you know, acrostics can be helpful. If you've got a good memory, just memorize. Sticky notes in your bathroom, your fridge, your whatever, your bedroom, wherever you like, on your mirrors, background on your phone, whatever it is that helps you to retain and remember scripture, do it, because it is so important. And then how do we respond to what God is saying to us? Is he speaking to you today, again, about making him the center of everything? Is he calling your name, as he did Martha? Is he asking you to do something? Or maybe to stop doing something. Remember in Philippians 8, it talks about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And again, just think about that drifting, how we drift off and we just stop reading the word or stop spending time with God, and then things that at one point we just wouldn't have thought about doing or looking at or thinking through or giving headspace to, all of a sudden is becoming more and more prominent in our lives. So just, again, just come back to that place. Jesus, be the center of everything that I am and who I am and the way that I live. And finally, onto our last E, experience his hope, his joy, his peace, and his love, because that's what's out there for us. And when you look at, there's another song on that album called Made for More, and it reads like this: I know who I am because I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. So the point at which we make that declaration and say, yes, I want you to be king of my life. It's only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, each and every one of us called by name. Born and raised back to life again, I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. This life, Jesus came to bring life, and life in all its fullness. Despite what many people think, when they talk about religion, they say, oh, it's so boring. They think of God as a real killjoy, but actually he wasn't. You know, Jesus turned water into wine. He had the best party going. Yeah, and it wasn't any cheap Liebfraumilch stuff. It was top end, probably made Chablis look quite ordinary. It's proper stuff. God doesn't do things by half. And he doesn't promise us that life will be easy, but he does promise to be with us through it all. If we keep him front and center in our lives, he will not allow our foot to slip. And he gives us so much along the way, hope for the future, joy. And that joy is not skipping around, pretending everything's absolutely fine and ignoring the fact that life is tough sometimes. You know, we go through grief, we go through pain, we go through suffering. But there is joy in the midst of that, because joy isn't about happiness. Joy is about it's a soul feeling. It's a gift of the Spirit in our souls. And his peace, which passes all understanding. And then his love. It says elsewhere in Scripture, he lavishes his love upon us. Incredible is that. Again, he doesn't do things by half. He's straight into giving us the everything that we need and more. He's so good and so right. And the other thing, just thinking about testimony, is so Psalm 34, when you read Psalm 34, it talks about David's testimony at a point where he'd escaped King Abimelech, his name was. And when you read the psalm, it's an absolute framework of how we give testimony. And I loved what Jack brought earlier, because it absolutely was just what I want to say about testimony. We should always be prepared to give testimony to what God has done in our lives. Always be prepared. That's in Hebrews as well. And Revelation talks about people being converted by the blood of the Lamb and the power of a testimony. We should always be prepared. But our testimony should always be God-focused. It's about what he's done. It's not about what we've done. It's not even about what we were. It's about what God's done in our lives. And just that sense of whenever we give testimony, you know, be like Jack. Talk about how amazing God is. And I think I can't remember the exact words, but it was basically God is the ultimate and there's nothing else left to say. That is what it is about. You know, all things, we live our lives to the glory of God. And the last, the bridge in the song center reads like this. My whole life for your glory, my whole world for you only, everything for the honor of your name. And if my days tell a story, let it be of you only, everything for the honor of your name. Is that what you want? Do you want to live a life which is so full of Jesus, so fixed on him, so walking hand in hand with him, that this is literally your prayer and your testimony? Because that's what God's calling us today. He wants you, each and every one of us, to put him firmly center. And there's no condemnation from him at all, in the sense of where we've gone a bit astray or just not kept him in that place. He's saying, come back to me. Come put me firm and center. Use some of the points from the acrostic to help, just in terms of what that might look like for you. But actually, he is the most important thing. And as we live this life, there is nothing more precious than living it with him. I could not do the life I do without knowing Jesus. There are so many songs that we sing. You know, you can imagine I sing a lot of songs. And I'm currently in a new workplace, and they are getting used to the fact that everything for me comes back to a song. So it might be very random. But particularly worship songs. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no better thing. You're my joy. You're my joy. You're the best. My righteousness, and I love you, Lord. So many songs. You've probably got some others running through your heads right now. But actually, just, again, with worship songs, keep them the ones that are about him, the ones that speak truth, that keep, they fill your soul up because they speak the truth of the word. And as we come to response and to communion, just a couple of things to maybe focus your mind on. There'll be an opportunity for prayer. Do you need to confess and just ask for forgiveness? Because actually, if we have wandered away, it's a good place to start, saying, Lord, I know I've screwed up. And know his forgiveness. Because the minute we come to him, he's there. Know his forgiveness. Maybe you need to confess why. Maybe you just need to lay something down that has been distracting you. God is there. He is so open-armed, waiting for you to come. Maybe you need to talk to him about disappointments, unfulfilled dreams. Maybe you haven't got any dreams. Ask God, come before him and say, Lord, give me a dream. Or please fulfill that dream or show me my purpose here and now while I'm waiting for that dream to be fulfilled. Maybe you need to recommit to spending time with him and to declare these words, my whole life for your glory, my whole world for you only. That doesn't make you a Jesus freak, guys. It really doesn't. Do I look like a Jesus freak? I'm quite a normal person, really. You know, it doesn't make you somebody that's got to be very, very holy all the time and looking around. You live your life that God has put you on this earth to live, but you'd live it with him right in the center of where you're at. There will be people at the back to pray. I just invite Tom and the team to come and join us. And they're going to sing the song that we've been going through. And I would just encourage you not to be in a rush to sing it. Really reflect on the words and some of what I've said and only sing it as a response to him. And again, there's no condemnation. If you don't feel in a place where you feel you can sing it, that's okay. I'd encourage you to come for prayer for whatever's blocking, but there's no condemnation in that at all if it's not where you're at. Jesus will be there whenever you need him. And then as part of your response, I encourage you to come for communion and commune with God. That's what it's about. It's about communing with him in a special way, in a new way, maybe. And maybe it's just a new way for today and for going forward. You've maybe done this for years. It's a new way. His blessings are new every morning. We don't look to the past apart from to thank God for it. We look forward, pressing on towards the goal, as Hebrews 12 said, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. So just encourage you, come before him as we sing this song.